Galatians chapter 5, we have been in this. This makes, I think, our 13th week to be talking about the book of Galatians. Yeah, it's a big deal. And so, again, just very quickly, the theme here is once you step into the kingdom of God, once you become born again, once you become part of the family, then there is a temptation for you to move into works of the law, into your self-effort, into what you do to maintain your righteousness, to maintain your Christianity, to maintain God's pleasure with you, to maintain other people's pleasure with you, to maintain the pastor's pleasure with you. We become so self-focused. And so historically, what they were dealing with was this very clear separation between the old covenant, which is what was given at Mount Sinai, the Ten Commandments and all of that, that happened, versus what came through Jesus. So John chapter 1 tells us that the law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. There is a clear distinction between the two covenants, and they are not to be mixed together. You can't live in both covenants. You just can't do it. And unfortunately, our modern history of church has been a mixture of the two covenants because we weren't rightly dividing the word of truth. See, and so what had happened here is that this church, here they are, they're living in freedom, and so again these Jewish Christians came in because of misunderstanding and because of maybe even of jealousy or somewhat, and saying, look, no, you've got to also be circumcised to be a part of the covenant of God. You've also got to do this to maintain your righteousness. This is what God requires of you. That's a very key, that's a key word. What does God require of us? Okay? Because when we come in and we start setting up our own rules and regulations and all of this, that this is what God is requiring of us, you better watch it. You've just moved into an old covenant mindset. And so, they even asked this question to Jesus in John chapter 6. They said, what must we do to do the works of God? What must we do? As a matter of fact, you're going to love this story. So in January, we went down to Mexico. And God opened a door for us to begin doing some work down in Morelia, Mexico. And so I'm going to minister at this church. First time I've ever met these people. First time I've ever had an opportunity to minister there. And so I'm praying about this. All right, now listen, you're going to learn something from this because it's about living life out of the Spirit. So I'm praying, God, what do you want me to share? What do you want me to share? And so this phrase just kept coming up. What must we do to do the works of God? And so I'm like, oh, yeah, I see it. Yeah, this is good. This is good. This is so good because the Mexican culture and South America and the Hispanic culture, they're so steeped in Catholicism and their works and what they've got to do to please God and that sort of thing. That's what they grew up with. I mean, actually in this city, only 2 or 3% claim to be Christian. If you ask them if they go to church, they would quickly say, I'm a Catholic. They won't say that I'm a Christian, right? And so I'm seeing it. I'm like, oh, man. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to start out the message with this. What must you do to do the works of God? Because that's going to catch their ear because, yeah, everybody wants to know, okay, what do I do to do the works of God? And then I'll finish that out by answering that question. And the answer to the question, Jesus said, this is the work of God that you believe on Him and His Son whom He has sent. Boom, period. End of the answer. Amen. That's the only answer. So I'm getting ready. We're in worship. And all of a sudden, the Lord says, I want to start out healing people with back problems. I'm like, wait a minute. That's not, God, I'm not really comfortable with that. Father, I like to do it at the end of a service because that gives me some time to teach them, get familiar with me, help build up faith, you know, in them a little bit. So if it's all the same to you, can we wait till the end of the service for that? And the Lord's still saying, no, you know. And the other thing is, what if I get up there and say, okay, who has back problems and nobody comes up, you know? Or then the next thought is, what if nobody gets healed? Like before I preach the message, like that's really not going to work out too good. So again, here I am, I'm making all these excuses. I'm wrestling with this thing. So God, I'd rather do it this way. I'm trying to be real nice about it, thinking that he'll say, you know what, Mark, I understand that and it's okay. But just again, just this, no, I want to start out before anything demonstrating who I am in the kingdom of God. And I'm still pushing against it. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God, I mean, it was loud. He said, Mark, what must you do to do the works of God? He flipped the whole thing on me. I'm sitting there saying, oh, that was for them. And right there in the middle of it, he's saying, what must you do to do the works of God? And I said, I know, just believe on him. I mean, he had me at that point. You're not going to win an argument with God, that's for sure. And so I got up and I said, I want you to know that the kingdom of God is here. The king is here right now. He is ready to heal. And so if anybody here has back problems, any pain, come up. Well, we had about 20 people come up. And as we begin to lay hands on them, every single one of them instantly healed. Now, I mean, and some of them was pretty major. It was awesome. Guess what? I had an attentive audience at that point. But see, it was all about pointing them to him.
That's right.
I just had to make the decision to believe. See, isn't that awesome? Mm-hmm. So what must we do? So it's about that. Verse 1 of Galatians chapter 5. Stand fast. Stand fast. There, and I've never learned how to stand slow, but stand fast. Therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. The Amplified says, in this freedom, Christ has made us free. It's all about freedom. I think the ESV version says, for this freedom, Christ has made us free. Jesus came, oh my goodness, so that we could experience freedom, so that we could be not tied to condemnation, guilt, and shame, so that we didn't have to be controlled by sin, so that we didn't have to be controlled by our emotions, so that we didn't have to be controlled by a legalistic set of rules that we couldn't ever attain to and ever be completely obedient to out of our own strength. He came to give us freedom so that we could live joyful, happy, with hope. Freedom. Man, it's just awesome. So stand fast, therefore, in the liberty, in this freedom. Christ has made us free and completely liberated us, the Amplified says. So stand fast then. Do not be hampered and held ensnared and submit again to a yoke of slavery which you have once put off. And I just want to say this is a... This, for some people, may be a daily thing. This could be a weekly thing, a monthly thing. The tendency is because we live from a performance mindset in our culture that we can let those thoughts and those ideas work their way into our life in the kingdom. Does that make sense? And so he says, behold, he says, so don't be entangled again with that yoke of bondage. Don't do it. Now, check this out. We're about to hear some very strong language, okay? Behold, I, Paul, verse 2, tell you, say unto you, that if you be circumcised, Christ will not profit you anything. Now, let's be clear about what he's talking about. He is not talking about, just looking at the external and the act of circumcision as separating you from Christ. What he is talking about is you've made a decision to, when they've come to you and said, okay, you Gentiles, now you to be able to be blessed by God, you've got to be circumcised, which represents that you're entering into that covenant with God. Okay, so that's what he's talking about here. And so if you've received Christ and you've believed on him by faith, and then you decide after you've received Christ who has set you free, but then now I'm going to also try to keep this set of rules, and to enter into that covenant, I have to be circumcised because that was a requirement for that. He said, what you've done is now Christ, his finished work, and what he's provided for you as a free gift will not profit you. It will not have any effect in your life. I mean, this is serious business. This is why it's so important that we make clear distinction between the old and the new covenant. This is why we make clear distinction between our self-effort to try to maintain righteousness or to try to please God versus just believing in what Jesus has done. Because the moment that I move from trusting Christ, the moment I move from trusting in what he did, man, I already feel the Holy Ghost working in this. The moment that I move from that and I start self-inspecting, I start self-looking, I start saying, but I've got to make sure that I'm doing this and that I'm doing that. Got to make sure that I'm at church. Got to make sure I'm praying. Got to make sure I'm confessing. Got to make sure I'm fasting. Got to make sure, it's like I was telling somebody before the service. I said, are you ready for tonight? Yeah. He said, we're going to get some meat tonight. We're going to get some ribeye. I said, no, I'm going to give you some filet mignon wrapped in bacon, which if we lived under the law, I could not do. Because we could not eat bacon. But you know, there's people, check this out, that there are Christians that will not eat pork because at one time in the Old Testament, you weren't allowed to eat pork. And so they want to, listen, follow me here. They want to be on the safe side. You hear what I'm saying? Because I'm not 100% convinced of where the line of my freedom is. Let me just be on the safe side and let me just make sure that I'm not eating this and I'm not eating that and I'm not eating, because I don't want to be in sin. And I would submit to you that, and I'm sorry just to be so bold. I'm not sorry, but I'm being so bold in this. But I would submit to you that that kind of thinking is an indication that you're not truly established in grace and you're not truly established in righteousness. See. Because passive Christianity, well, I just really don't know what's right and what's wrong. I just really don't know if I can eat or if I can't eat this. I really don't know if I should be thinking about these scriptures in the old or if I'm not. Well, if you don't, then you better find out. Because not knowing isn't going to make the spirit realm saying, okay, well, I guess because of the ignorance, we're just going to bless them anyway. You're just going to, no. There are very clear spiritual laws in place. And so what Paul is dealing with here, these people were ignorant. Get this. This church was ignorant. They didn't know. They had people coming in saying, listen, you have to eat these foods. You have to eat these foods. You have to be circumcised. You have to do this. That is what God requires of you. So they didn't know. They were being confused. And so the fact that they didn't know and that they were ignorant wasn't, in Paul's mind, wasn't an excuse and wasn't okay, because what he wanted to get across to them is your passivity, your ignorance, and the fact that you're allowing a little bit of law to come in is actually doing you more harm than good. And now all of a sudden, that which comes and flows from the kingdom, that flows from Christ, that's available to you, actually is not doing you any good. And you don't realize it. And so if you don't watch it, you're going to end up getting tired, burned out, depressed, wondering where your blessing is. You'll experience some emotional high and some emotional joy during a good worship session, during a great preaching session, you know, and you'll get a little bit of light. But because you've never firmly moved to the place of righteousness that comes by faith, you're going to end up just getting worn out. It will happen. For some of us, it's already happened, which is why we're here today enjoying the freedom that is in Christ Jesus. Come on. And can I tell you that the freedom that happens from an understanding and establishment in righteousness and grace is an everlasting freedom. There's an everlasting joy. There is, His mercies are new every morning. His grace continues every day. I'm telling you that you experience, it's like you don't get tired out. You don't get worn out. You don't get burned out. I discovered this, thanks be to God, who led us on a path for our eyes to be open 7 years ago. I mean, literally 7 years ago, just last month. And it has gotten better and better and better. And I'm not worn out. I'm not tired. I'm not burned out. We have a hope for the future. Can I tell you, we are going through, it is so exciting. We are going through our house right now because we had to do a lot of remodeling, all this kind of stuff. And we're just looking at stuff. And we're like, don't want this. Don't want this. Not emotionally attached to this. No sentiment there. It's just, we're just throwing stuff out like crazy. And Jennifer says, why am I doing this? We're talking about this the other day. Why am I doing this? Like, why are we just getting rid of all this stuff that we've collected over 30 years? And like, I have no attachment to it. Why is that? So I'll tell you why. Because we have a hope for the future. Amen. We are more excited about what is coming than having to live in the past. We are more excited about what God is going to do and what God is and the discovery that we have than having to stay sentimentally attached to the way it used to be, or to the joy of our childhood, or to the joy of our kids growing up, or all those things. No, that was different people. There was a time that we had no hope for the future. It didn't look like we were ever going to get out of the rut of life and the cycle that we were going over and over and over. And it was just a hamster wheel that we're just, you know, running it. But we are never going anywhere. And we could not see. We couldn't even see light at the end of the tunnel. We were just in the tunnel. And so that caused depression, anxiety, worry. When will it ever get better? I'm not good enough. I'll never be able to do this. Will things ever change? What happens when the kids leave? Jennifer asked the question. When the kids leave, what are we going to talk about? Like, we don't talk much anyway, which we didn't at the time. So our lives revolved around our children. But then what are we going to do? She had a real fear about what our life was going to look like without our children. We had no hope for the future. So we stayed there and stayed looking at the past, because that's where our joy came back. Our joy came from the good times in the past, because we weren't necessarily experiencing them right now, and we certainly didn't know what it looked like in the future. Guys, that comes from a works mentality, from a law mindset. When you have hope for the future, when you experience the freedom that is in Christ Jesus, when you see that He has nothing but good things planned for you, and when it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, when it says that eye is not seen, nor ear heard, nor is entered into the heart of man, what God has prepared for them that love Him, that He's prepared something for you that you can't figure out in your natural, you can't do it on your own. The next verse says, but He's revealed them to us by His Spirit. And so the reason why we pray in the Spirit, and the reason why we walk in the Spirit, the Bible says, is so that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Amen. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Amen. Now, when you start experiencing that and enjoying that freedom, man, you stop looking at the past, because the past will not compare to your future.
Ooh, that's right. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Okay. Why am I going to get more joy out of the past than I am in the hope that is laid before me?
Yes.
See?
Yes, yes. That's good.
I'm telling you, the Lord's all over this tonight. Yes. Come on.
Yes. Amen.
So that's why Paul says here in verse 2, that if you make a decision that you're going to live by your own efforts, your own work, that you're going to go into another system that is not based on just faith in what Jesus has done, then Christ that's good. Ooh.
Come on, share it.
Man, that's good. What did he say? What does the word Christ mean? Does anybody know? It means the anointed one. Christ means the anointed one. Jesus says that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me. You know, and so it's like what they did is they would pour the oil. You know, when David was anointed to be king, oil was poured on him that represented, you know, that calling, or they would anoint the priest or whatever. The anointing is that pouring on. And so Jesus was the anointed one, full of the Spirit without measure. He had the Spirit without measure. Now check this out. 1 John says that you have the anointing.
Yeah.
You have the unction. Can we go over there and look at this? We're just going to... Man, oh man, oh man. This is so good. So in 1 John chapter 2... It says in verse 20, 1 John chapter 2, I want you to see this. Verse 20, but you have an unction. Amplified says, but you have been anointed by the Holy One. You have an unction, an anointing from the Holy One. Now check this out. And you know all things. You know all things. Now, he's not saying you will know all things. He's making a statement of fact concerning a born-again believer that you know all things. Remember how Jesus, or how God said, I will write my laws on their hearts and on their minds and all of that? How does that work? How does that come? It's by the Spirit of God. It's by the Spirit of Christ. It's that same Spirit that was on Jesus. It now dwells in you. Look, let's go down here. Verse 24. Let that therefore abide or dwell in you, which you have heard from the beginning. Talking about the Word, the Gospel, living by faith. And he goes on to say, if that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you shall continue in the Son and in the Father. Now, I'm not going to go far with that except to say he's not talking about salvation as much as he's talking about experience. That if you stay at a place that you are living by faith, by grace, established in righteousness, then what happens is you continue experiencing and living in the Son. You experience the Father. All right? And this is the promise that he's promised us, eternal life. These things I've written unto you concerning them that seduce you. Verse 27. But the anointing which you have received of him, it abides in you. That same, the anointed one, and what Jesus was anointed with, that same Spirit, it dwells on the inside of you. And so you don't need that you have, you don't have to have a man teach you. All right, now this is, I used to disagree with the Scripture. I know it's stupid to disagree with any Scripture, but this is just one that made no sense to me because I'm like, no. Every person needs a pastor. Every person needs a teacher. Every person needs somebody to teach them things. Like, that doesn't make any sense, because if you just tell people that they don't need a man teaching, then nobody will come to church. You know, I mean, I'm just, you know, that was just my logic. So we just didn't quote this Scripture. The less you know, the better off you were. No, the less you knew, the better off I was. See how that works? That's not even what he's talking about. I mean, obviously God set the fivefold ministry. But the point is it's not about your dependence on a pastor, your dependence on a teacher, your dependence on a TV personality, your dependence on somebody else. We have churches that now are that because of the way it's been set up. How do I say this? Father, just give me the words to say it right and do it in love. The way that it's set up is. Not necessarily, I'm not saying that men have caused it to be this way on purpose, but the byproduct of the way that we do church is that people depend on what the pastor says and takes that as gospel, and that being truth, and it has to be right because he's the man of God. And he's a pastor and he's in the ministry. So he has to know what's right. And so I'm not. I'm just a lay person. And a lay person doesn't have the same value as a pastor does. And so a pastor hears more from God than the lay person does. And so we've created this separation in our church, in our thinking, and in churches that there's this, you know, again, there's this hierarchy in the kingdom of God. And there's not. There's only function. There's only function. See, and so here's the whole deal. How you doing, Albert? Okay. We're doing good, man. Well, you just can sit right there in front of me, and you're in good shape. There you go. So now what happens is if we read this Scripture the way that it's that 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 church operates today, we would say, but the pastor which you have received, you know, abides with you, and you need that he teach you. See, that's kind of our mindset. But see, Christianity was never about dependence on the pulpit. It was about dependence on Christ.
Yes, amen. Yes, amen.
And that Christ in you, and your relationship, you have an individual your relationship with the Father and with His Son Jesus is just as strong and just as valid, and you have just the same anointing and just the same measure of the Spirit as I do, as any TV personality does, and in some cases maybe more than some, because some of them still trying to do it according to works as opposed to doing it by the Spirit of God. See, and so you recognize, and this is the whole deal. So he says, the anointing that's in you, it will teach you of all things and what is truth and is no lie. Even as it has taught you, you shall abide in him.
Amen.
Spirit of God is called the teacher, the Spirit of God. In John chapter 14, 15, 16, the Holy Spirit given, called the Comforter, called the, he won't leave us orphanless without, he's another Comforter. He is the one that abides in us. He shall be with you, it will be in you, and he will teach you all things. That's what Jesus said. And so what we need to do is we need to get in a place that we're receiving from the Holy Spirit and letting him teach us. And you'll hear things. You'll hear things and see, here's what happens. And I'm sorry to spend so much time on this, but this is so essential because we're talking about a mature church and a mature body. You'll hear things sometimes that just don't sit right with you. But you'll disregard that feeling because of who it is that's saying it. See? And so you must be wrong because so-and-so said it. Listen, it don't matter who it is. I listened to a message I taught in 2013 about fear. And I didn't listen to it. I was reading through the notes. And I thought, man, I thought this was a great series. I did a six-week series on how to get rid of fear and that sort of thing, and it was awesome. And I thought at the time. And so I'm going through it, and everything, as I'm going through the notes, everything, it was okay. There wasn't anything that was wrong, but it struck me as what was missing in all of my notes. I had all of these things that you can do to get rid of fear and all of that. But let me tell you, in my notes, what was missing? One word, Jesus. I was talking about the Word. And I was talking about principles, and I was talking about, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but a love and all of those good things. And even perfect love cast out fear. But at the end of the day, it's still all the foundation for everything in our life must be Jesus.
Amen. That's right.
It must be. So as good as the technical part of that teaching may have been, it's still, see, and somebody could have been sitting there and saying, yeah, it feels like something's missing a little bit. But, because it's so well put together and I studied for that, you might have a tendency. No, listen to what's going on in the spirit of right there. And look, and don't ignore that. Let the Spirit of God teach you all things. Now, as a guide, how do you know it's the Spirit of God? He will testify of me, Jesus said. He will testify of Jesus Christ. He will not draw attention to himself. He will always point to Jesus. See? And so he points to Jesus. We point to Jesus in the same way that Jesus pointed to the Father. All right, now, there's a lot here, but It is truth. It's no lie. Even as it has taught you, you shall abide in him. So he's talking about the anointing and Christ dwelling in you, the anointed one. Now go back to Galatians 5. This is what I want you to see. Behold, I, Paul, verse 2, say unto you that if you are circumcised, if you go to another system to try to gain blessing, to try to get acceptance from God, to please him, all of that, Christ will not profit you anything. Christ being the anointed one and everything that's in him, which is now in you. So that same anointing that is there to teach you, to guide you, to lead you, everything that's in Christ that came out of his finished work, his righteousness, his sanctification, all of that stuff that has been put on the inside of you, as soon as you say, I've got to do this, all of that has just been pushed aside. The anointed one will not profit you anything. See, everything that was wrapped up, healing, deliverance, healed of a broken hearted, emotional stability, joy, all of those things are in Christ, are in the anointing, and that anointing and that spirit is on the inside of you. Out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. I say it over and over again. But if my heart says I've got to do this to be able to get that, then you've just shut off the flow. Because now it's about your flow, not his flow. For I testify, verse 3, again, to every man that is circumcised, that the moment that you say yes to do this one thing, you are now obligated to do it all. You have now said in your heart, yes to, you just said yes to, I'm going to make sure that I don't eat pork. Because I don't want that to be sin. So, you know, you've decided to keep some of the law. Guess what? Now you are obligated to keep all of the law. You can't you don't get to pick and choose which commandments you're going to keep and which commandments you aren't going to keep. You don't get to say, I like these and that fits my lifestyle, so I'm just going to do those. The moment that you find something in the old covenant that applies to you is the moment that you, now all the old covenant applies to you, which means now you got to start keeping all the feasts. Now you got to make sure that you don't do any work on Saturday. Now you got all of these things. Now you have to meet all of those requirements to be blessed by God. There, that system is still out there if you decide to do it. Christ, look at verse 4. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by your works, justified by keeping the law, justified, you are fallen from grace. You're fallen from grace. Now, what does that mean? You know, we've heard that term, you know, well, you know, so-and-so went out and, you know, they've got into drugs and they started doing this and they just fell from grace. And so we have equated or compared a sinful lifestyle as being the you have fallen from grace. So because we've sinned and because we fell off the boat, we've now fallen from grace. And that's not what he's talking about. Sin isn't even in this conversation. He's talking about you trying to be blessed by your own efforts and by what you do. And making sure you're a good little Christian, make sure you're doing everything exactly right. And the moment that you look at your performance, that you look at what you're doing, you have just fallen. Look, check that out. Here's grace. God says, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. Come up, come up, come up, come up. Think like me, act like me, walk like me, talk like me. I want you to come up to this level of freedom. Here's grace. There's this river that's flowing and that's here. And you can just come up into it and just experience it and swim in it. And it's all free. I just need you to believe in my son Jesus and what he did. And the moment that you do, you activate and you release this river to flow in your life. Oh, that's so good. I'm going to step into the river. Now I'm a son of God. All right, now I'm going to, I got to make sure I'm going to go to church every week. Okay, and now I got to make sure that I'm really diligent to tithe just to, you know, I mean, I'm talking about down to the penny, because if I don't, then the curse is going to come, you know. And now I also got to make sure I need to fast or I need to pray. And so what happens is we've just moved from this place of freedom up here. Now, I'm not saying don't tithe, but the reason why you tithe is important. Because if you're giving and if you're tithing so that you're not cursed, then you're giving out of fear, not out of faith. But now if you're saying, man, God, thank you for blessing me. Thank you, because in this place, you have abounded towards me. You have blessed me in such a way that, Father, how could I not? You've freely given to me. How can I not freely now give to the church that I'm a part of and give to other ministries and to help other people? And yes, it won't be, you know, you realize you never see when it talks about the church giving, it ever talks about the 10%. It talks about them coming and just bringing everything. Because they had a heart that recognized they were given everything, and it produced such freedom and such liberality in them. See, they weren't bound by an artificial. They were givers. They were generous. But it was because of the motivation. But see, we come down here. Now what have we done? We've fallen from grace. And now I'm having to live back as a natural. Listen, this is so good. The law, the Bible says, was not made for a righteous man. The law was made for unrighteous people. Rules are made. You don't have to tell most people don't kill other people. I mean, we just know that. But you have to put it out there for people that may be predisposed to killing other people. Yeah. Right? Here's the thing. When I decide to start living by the law and by what I do, because only at that time unregenerated, unborn-again people were the ones that were living by the law, I have just now moved from a place of sonship and acting like a son of the king, being born again with a new nature. I have now stepped back and said, you know what? I'm just going to act like an unregenerated person and just start living out of my soul and just start living out of my flesh, and my spirit no longer is leading and guiding me. Because the spirit will only lead you and guide you into a place of freedom. You cannot even keep the law by the spirit of God. So what have I done? I've now taken my existence and I've now made it natural again. I'm no longer supernatural. I talk about being supernatural. I talk about doing what God says. I talk about keeping his law and keeping his commandments and doing all those things. But I'm still talking about me doing all of this. And I stop just trusting in what Jesus has done. Guys, we have to get ourselves out of the way. This is why this is so important, because I want to stay in a place of the supernatural. I want to stay a place experiencing the nature of God, the freedom that is there. Okay, I want to talk about one other thing, then we'll close. So Christ has become of no effect of you whosoever of you that are justified by the law. You have fallen from grace. Because it's our effort, it's what we do to earn God's favor instead of just believing in what God has freely given to us, even when we were yet sinners, and our faith in Him is what produces the righteousness and the freedom that we live in. For we, verse 5, through the Spirit, we're waiting for, or we're in earnest expectation of the hope of righteousness that comes by faith. For in Jesus, neither circumcision avails anything nor uncircumcision. Only one thing, faith which works by love. It's the key to the whole deal. It's the key to the whole deal. Thank you, Father. It's the key to the whole deal. Faith which works by love. Now, I used to think that what that meant was that faith, as long as I was not in unforgiveness and as long as I wasn't in strife and as long as I wasn't mad at people, then as long as I was living, walking the love walk the best I knew how, then now faith can work. What I was believing God for would work in my life because I'm not mad at anybody. Now, what's wrong? Let me ask you this question. What's wrong with that picture? Say it again. Well, that wasn't very nice. But that's right. It's about me. See? This is the thing that I want. Y'all watch Star Wars, and you remember the one scene where the admiral or general or whatever said, "It's a trap." Well, I want to talk to you about some things. It's a trap. There are some things that are traps. And one of them is this. It's a trap. Okay? As long as I'm in this place, I'm doing this. Again, I am still responsible for whether or not I'm blessed in my life or not. Okay? Faith works by love. Whose love? God's love. See, the moment that I move to me, see, I missed the first part of that. The moment I move to me, I've separated myself from the grace of God being able to work properly in my life. But the moment that I just move to Jesus and I say, "Jesus, thank you. Jesus, you took it all." Okay, so I'm going to use an example in these last few minutes. Okay, so there's a family that I've been having some great conversation with this week. And so the father, the husband, had some stomach issues going on right here. And so we prayed for that. And, you know, but there was just some things that were just, it was like, let me continue to pray about these things. Well, then, interestingly enough, there was more to it than just that. Let me just say it this way, okay? That night, their adult daughter, was rushed to the emergency room with what could have been appendicitis. That's what it felt like, okay? Not only that, but then their son, adult son, word came to them that he was having stomach issues. Not only that, but their granddaughter was having stomach issues. Yeah. Now, what do you do with that? What do you do with that? How do you process this? So I'm going to use this as an example to share what has transformed my thinking and mine and my wife's life that is not like the way we used to think. Because here's the deal. Something like that happens. Four members of your family. There's going to be these thoughts and this thinking that tries to hit you. And we're going to identify what's right and what's wrong. Thought number one, the devil's attacking me and my family. My whole family. Thought number two, what door did I open to allow this attack to come into my family? Thought number three, depending on who you're listening to, because the attack is so great, that means God has a great victory for you and a great ministry for you and a great plan for your life. The greater the attack, the greater the ministry. New level, new devil. So let's just identify this for just a moment. Let's just find out what's true about these statements. Number one, the devil is attacking me and my family. All right, let's just start there. First of all, we know sickness comes from the devil. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil. So we know that. But here's the danger. Here's the trap. Okay? If I start looking at it as this all-out assault on me and my family, then what's happened here is I've now confused the issue and I've now allowed my emotions to get involved. And honestly, I have to tell you, I'm not privy to the devil's plans for my life. I wasn't there in the conference room when he talked to some of his demons and said, look, we really want to, this family I want to focus on today. So what we're doing is we're using our circumstances and we're assuming that this is what this means. And the problem with that is you're empowering the devil to have influence in your life and in your family's life by what you're saying. So that's number one. Number two, what door did I open for Satan to be able to attack me and my kids? What's the problem with that statement? You're looking at yourself. It's about you. All right, number three, new level, new devil. The greater the attack, the greater the ministry. What's the problem with that statement? The problem with that statement is it's still about you. That just makes, because the attack is so great, that makes me more special. It begins to, you know, when somebody prophesies, brother, because of the attack, God has a great plan. What it does is it strokes my spiritual ego, you know. It's like, yes, and my emotions get involved. Yes, I see that, I see that. And so now my hope is placed in a word about me instead of my hope being placed in what Jesus did. So in all three cases, it's entrapping us into a wrong mindset. What's the proper way to approach this? Okay, well, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. See, this goes back to something I was talking about Sunday. We can be so devil-focused and problem-focused and us-focused that we miss Jesus. So what am I going to do? If this happens to me, what am I going to do? Number one, I'm going to separate my family from the deal. All right? The tendency is for us to see that all four of those are connected in some way. And we have no other proof except the fact that they all had similar symptoms. I'm not getting involved in all that. I don't think that way anymore. Right now, because right now I know that I am a son of the King. I am part of the kingdom of God. I don't care what's going on with Olivia or with Seth or Brooke, you know, my children. I don't care what's going on with Jennifer. I have a personal relationship with God Almighty. I am a son of God Almighty. I'm starting there as a beloved son that is firmly planted in the kingdom. I've been moved from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his dear son. Now, I will deal with my family later, but I'm going to deal with this first. Yes, I'm not dealing with the devil first. Yes. I'm dealing with my relationship with the Father first. I'm looking to Jesus. I'm not looking to what the devil's doing. I'm not talking about what he's doing, if it's him or if it's not, or if it was the pizza I ate or whatever it is. None of that. The cause doesn't matter. I'm not looking at the problem or the cause of the problem. I'm looking at the solution. And his name is Jesus. So I'm going to start here, and I'm not going to start in the last part of this verse that says, by whose stripes you are healed. I'm going to start at the beginning that says, him, his own self, bear my sins in his body. Stop there. That means that if I did something, if I sinned, if I made a mistake, if whatever we have in our Christian culture have created these lists of how we can open the door, this part of this scripture settles the issue. Jesus, in his own body, bore my sin, bore my mistakes, bore whatever I have possibly done to open the door. He bore all of that on the tree 2,000 years ago.
Amen.
He bore my judgment.
Yes, he did.
So I first and foremost am going to stay in this place. Because, listen, if I start moving, if I start down this slippery slope of, well, I did this, or, well, because of me, or all of this, what's happened? I've now moved to self-inspection again. And you remember, even under the law, when they brought the lamb for sacrifice for sins, the priest didn't sit there and inspect the people bringing it. This priest inspected the lamb that was brought to it. Jesus is the perfect, blameless, spotless lamb that has taken all of our sin. So see, now I come to the Father. Father, I thank you. I thank you that Jesus, you bore my sin. You bore my mistakes. You bore my judgment. Satan says, yeah, but you just did this. You know, yesterday, yesterday when you were driving down the road, you flipped somebody off. Yesterday, you ate this yesterday. You were angry at yesterday. See, and so you're hearing this. And so you have a decision to make. I said, listen, you have a decision to make. You can either stay in the uncertainty and the doubt of what you've done, or you can stay or you can stand in the reality and stand in the freedom that Christ has made you free. And it's if it says he took every sin, then he took every sin.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
But I'm going to tell you that you being wishy-washy and waffling between, well, I did this, so this must mean, but Jesus said this, but I did this. James chapter 1 says, let not that man think that he will receive anything from the Lord, because you're like a wave. You're just back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And so I made a decision to stand fast. Firm. I'm going to hold on to the anchor of the Word of God and what it says about me.
That's right.
My emotions don't fit into this.
That's right.
The way I feel don't fit into this.
Right.
The way that I used to believe doesn't even fit into this.
Amen.
His own self bear my sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live under righteousness. Stop there. That is my state as a believer. That is who I am. I'm dead to sin. No, I'm not. I did this yesterday. No, I'm not. I'm just... So you got a choice to make. You got to say, who are you? Are you who God says you are? Or are you who you have said you are? See. So see, I'm not, again, do you see what I'm doing here?
Yeah.
I'm being firmly established in the truth concerning what Jesus has done. I'm firmly established in the truth of righteousness. Guys, this is what it means to fight the good fight of faith.
Yeah.
I'm staying in a place that I'm believing him and what Jesus did. I haven't even dealt with my family situation yet. Haven't even dealt with those. I can't do that until I make sure I'm firmly established here.
Amen.
See. That we, being dead to sin, should live under righteousness. Now, Once I'm established there, the last part so applies. By whose stripes you were healed. All of this is about what Jesus did, not about me.
That's right.
He bore my sins. He took it all. His stripes have healed me. What must we do to believe, to do the works of God? Believe on Him. Believe in Jesus. Believe. 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 See. Now it's not about me, it's about Him, and it's receiving that. So I say, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus. Man. I mean, even as I'm praying this, listen, the Spirit of God is working in some hearts right now. If you're dealing with sickness, if you've been dealing with what you felt like has been an attack, receive. Receive it right now. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for what Jesus did for me. Jesus, I look to you. You took every one of my mistakes. You took every sin. You took everything. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That I'm now dead to sin. So I live unto righteousness. Now that's who I am. And so, Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I thank you because of your love for me. And nothing else. Get this. Because of your love. Father, my faith works by love. I just stay in this place of your love. You loved me so much. 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 I'm just looking at your love, your love, your love. Father, you love me. You love me. You love me. Because of your love. Thank you, Father. This is who I am. And now, by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. I was healed, but I am healed now. Everything in my body, in Jesus' name. Now I can operate out of authority. Now I can operate out of the truth. Body, line up. Pain, you go. Stomach issues, be made whole. Be made right. Your kingdom property. So in Jesus' name, you bow the knee, whatever it is that has created the problem. And I thank you, Father, that healing is coming. Spirit of God, you are giving life to every part of my body right now in the name of Jesus. What's happened out of all of that? What's happened out of all of that? Guess what? What's happened out of all of that is I haven't even looked at the problem. I'm not even looking at the devil. I'm not magnifying any of that. What have I done? I've just magnified Jesus. I've magnified what He's done. How do I move on to my kids? Well, Father, right now. So in the name of Jesus Christ, Father, I just thank you that the favor that's on my life, that the anointing that's in me, that what Jesus has done for me, that also extends to my family in Jesus' name. And so right now, you know, and here's a voice saying, yeah, but, you know, your daughter may not believe. Your son may not believe. They may not have done this. Trying to get you over into moving away from the finished work of the cross. And I'm telling you, if Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And there's so many promises concerning our children. Then I say no. I say dare to believe. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, concerning my children, concerning Olivia and concerning Brooke and concerning Seth, right now in Jesus' name, I speak healing to their bodies right now. They are bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so I pray for them and I declare that sickness can't stay in that place in Jesus' name. See, what have I done? I've stepped into the authority of being a father, but also of receiving from the Father what is true about them. What have I not done? I've not connected what's going on and saying the devil's attacking all of them. I'm not looking at that anymore. Now I'm just looking at Jesus. So let's do this. So somebody texted me before the service, and they've got a there's a baby in their family that is, I think the mother's in the hospital right now, but this is 8 weeks before the due date. And so really the baby doesn't need to be born yet. So let's pray together. And here's something else that's beautiful about the body of Christ. We can come together and pray. And I know that they're watching by live stream. And so the things that the Holy Spirit had me to share speaks directly to this situation. So together, we're going to join together and agree. The Bible says if any two or three agree together, it's touching anything. So we're just strengthening what's going on in their family with our faith. Beautiful. It's beautiful. The body of Christ is amazing. Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, we come together regarding this situation with this baby that they're saying may be born 8 weeks ahead of time. And we say that right now that will not be the case, Father, but that you're taking care of this young mother. You're taking care of this baby in Jesus' name. And whatever needs to happen to make this delivery perfect and to make everything perfect with this child, we thank you, Father, for doing the work. Jesus, you've already done it, but we just now release the authority of the Word of God and the finished work of Christ into this young mother and in this child in Jesus' name. We command healing to come. We command strength to come. We command wholeness to come in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for protecting this family right now. There it is. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, thank you for just wrapping your arms around this family in Jesus' name. And we declare that everything will be made right. Everything will be made perfect. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, because you love them so much. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. We have to stand fast. Have to stand fast in the freedom. Enjoy the freedom. Enjoy the freedom. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. Stop looking at yourself. Stop feeling that the moment that you decide, I'm going to stand in this love, I'm going to stand in this freedom, I'm going to believe what the Bible says about me, you start the shift, the turn of your life. Things didn't change for me and Jennifer instantly. But what happened is I said, I'm going to continue to believe. I'm going to talk about these things Sunday. But we're going to continue to believe. We're going to continue to believe what the Word of God says. Yeah, but this has happened and this has happened. And my car broke down and my air conditioner broke down and my this. So this isn't working. So what you're saying is the Word isn't working. And based on what you're seeing and you're not giving time for the Spirit of God to make arrangements for you. And no, I am committed now. I'm living this way from now on in Jesus' name. My circumstances are going to change based on what I believe, not based on, my believing is not going to be based on what I see. Anyway, we're going to talk about these things Sunday and just continue on. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? Hallelujah. Did you get anything out of this tonight? Yes. Was this helpful?
Amen.
Albert did. That's awesome. Praise God. Praise God. Well, let's just lift our hands up one more time. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Father, I just ask you and I just pray right now for wisdom, understanding, I pray that you begin to identify in our lives areas where we have looked to ourselves, looked to our effort, looked to what we do. And in Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, reveal those things to us so that we can now just move and stand fast in the freedom that you've given to us in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.